And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you, Elijah Campbell, manning the board, the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Willie, we can hear you. The mics are on. Willie, you are hot. Willie, you are hot.
Willie, no idea.
The mics are on.
No idea.
Willie, you are hot. Over. Willie, you're hot. Over.
Willie has no idea.
People just tuning in like, why is Darren saying Willie is hot? Like, that's awkward.
Coming in hot.
The truth has come out. Darren thinks Willie is hot. After all these
I'm really not coming in hot because I blew out a tire on the way in.
Seriously?
I barely made it in. Yeah,
this morning?
Really?
Right as I was getting off the interstate to get here.
Uh-huh.
I got the tire pressure, and I was like, oh, maybe I ran over a nail, and it's getting a little low or something. Then all of a sudden, another minute or two go by, and you just know it's now, it's not like that bad, but it's bad.
Ooh.
So did you coast here?
I made it here, and it was.
So you're toast after the show.
Well, I got to do the change the tire. I'm going to have to change the tire.
Yeah. When the last time you changed the tire, Willie?
It's been a while.
I think it was in the 2000s for sure.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm confident of that, but uh-huh. I don't know how far into the 2000s.
You know, I can give you a tip. You know how I changed mine? Yeah. Need somebody over here to.
You know, last time.
I don't have any fix-a-flat in my car, so could you get on over here to 1824?
I usually carry fix-a-flat in my car.
Me too.
I usually just keep it just because.
But I don't have any right now.
But the last time I changed a tire, I had a 1985 Escort, Ford Escort hatchback.
Wow.
You know when that was?
1985.
Wow. Not that I don't know how to change a tire. No. As a matter of fact, it was later than that. It was 2000. It was early in 2000. It might have been year 2000. The neighbor had a flat, and I helped them change the tire.
Okay.
So
what does that mean? You helped? Like what?
Well, no,
were you like, hey,
I jacked it up.
Hey, get that lug nut right there.
No, I jacked it up and I unscrewed it.
Okay.
I did everything.
So you did
because the parents were not home, and it was a teenager, and she was going somewhere, and you know.
Do you think she still tells that story to this day?
I don't know.
I bet she does.
I have no idea, but I ended up changing the tire. It was quick.
But you were a Titan then.
Yeah, I was a Titan then. So yeah, I know how to change the tire, but I don't want to change tires.
She's like, you put it on wrong, but I didn't have the heart to tell him. It's a football player, and you put it on the wrong way.
There was two lug nuts just sitting there. He said we didn't need them.
He threw half the lug nuts away. I didn't have the heart to tell him.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, if you are truly going to be out there in the parking lot, at 2 o'clock, then we need video because I don't believe you need to. If I were you during a break, I would be do 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 do.
I think Willie's going to try to change it.
1824 Murfreesboro Road. Can you get somebody in here to change this flat, please. Thank you.
I feel like I got to try to change it. Now I've certainly had some. Now see, I haven't changed it since I've had this car, so I got to assume that I've got all the right equipment
in
the trunk.
The manual
there.
Out. Exactly. You don't know where everything is. It's going to be a process.
I don't even think. You know what?
It's not something I'm looking forward to.
I don't even think, because some cars newer cars don't come with a spare because they run flat. And they figure, you can get to wherever you need to get and then get the car towed.
Okay.
Like, I don't think my car has a spare tire.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't think it does.
We're
going to
find out when I open up my trunk, right? After the show.
Want $1,000.
But you have
tire.
SUV, small SUV, right?
Not really.
I don't think would qualify as an SUV.
Well,
but I don't know what you call it.
It's kind of in between.
A car?
Kind of in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you call those? I don't know what you call
cars? Yeah. He's got a car.
It's not a car.
I mean, it's got a hatchback.
Yeah.
But it's four doors, uh-huh. But it's not an SUV.
Yeah, it's not big, but
it's not small.
Yeah, it's in the middle.
It's
a lot of people.
Car. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you call those.
Yeah, it's a mid-sized car. But anyway,
it's more than mids. Upper mid.
Upper mid. Yeah. Upper. It's like it's like the Jordans where they have the high top, the low tops, and then the mids.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So they had the mids.
Back in the day, that was still the cool thing for a while. Like the mids. Yeah.
Like yeah, they still got the mids. I like the mids.
I don't know. Look, I'm willing to help. Let me just finish before you guys. Let me finish with the statement. Okay. I'm willing to help, Willie. But I don't know if it's honestly. Well, yeah. I mean, of course, there's that. Like I said, let me finish. I don't mean like really, really help. I mean, I'm willing to help. Like, I just don't know if it's like I've never done this before, so I don't want Chase the suit running in the studio. No, you can't do that on the air. Oh my gosh, you know, freaking out, running up and down the halls, ringing the bell in the office. Like we can't. I'd give somebody tickets if they would come change your tire during the show.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if you want that, but I'm just saying where you could, you know, somebody was.
Well, I don't know that I have. I got to check and see if I have the fixins in the back, like Derek was saying. I've never looked. I've only had the car for about a year. I did have to change my tire with my parents' car on the day of my high school graduation. I was just driving around the morning of graduation, and I was like, oh, man. From this graduation here, if I can't do this. Like, I was like, you have to do this. You got to be able to do this.
So you did it.
And I did it.
Okay.
I was very proud of myself. Took me
Which tire is it,
took
Willie?
Me a long time. Front left. Front driver's side.
Okay, we've got a good suggestion on the text line. Call TD. He's got a hookup with Freedom Tire Guys. That's not a bad idea right there. TD, we just saw yesterday in studio. So, you know, I mean, maybe TD can help a brother out, man. Mm-hmm. You know, get those Freedom Tire Guys over there and change. I don't know if they're mobile, but what did you say you have, Willie, again? Did you say you have a crossover?
Yeah, it's a crossover. That's what they're called.
Is that what they're called, crossover? Yeah. Okay.
It's, that's what people in the text line are saying. Yeah. It's a crossover. Sure, it's a mid-sized car, but anyway, crossover, yes. Or a mid-sized car, but sure, if you want to call it a crossover, that's fine. We can do that, or a mid-sized car.
We all aspired to have a good crossover dribble back in the day. So,
absolutely.
There's a lot of crossovers in Memphis last night.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
We'll have Eric Castletide on at noon, man. That was just – I mean, let me clean it up. That was a butt whooping. That was just a good old-fashioned take you out to the back and pull off the belt, get a couple twigs, and just whoop that you-know-what. They were up
They were playing their song. They
were up 50-something.
They were playing their song, man, and they did it.
What do you guys think about – and we can ask Hasseltine if he saw it. A lot of people are making a lot to do of Draymond Green, like, dancing and waving the towel with the fans. Like, you know, how dare you? You got embarrassed, and you're over there like dancing and waving the towel with the crowd in Memphis. Did you guys see that?
But you know, Draymond, he just trolls, man. He likes getting under people's skin.
I know,
and that's his thing. People take the bait.
Sure,
they take the bait and they know it.
Well, they're not going to stop now.
Exactly,
they're taking it his whole career.
Exactly, he's just trolling Memphis fans. That's all.
So no issues with anybody.
I don't see an issue with it. He's being Draymond. If he wasn't doing that, then
you'd have to admit, like, I get it. Like, you're totally right, D-Mace. Like, just consider the source. Look who it is. But could you imagine, just think about another sport. Could you imagine, you know, in a football, in the playoffs, you're getting, and I know this is a little bit different. You're one and done, so you're eliminated. They're not eliminated. They're still up 3-2. So maybe in hockey, could you imagine the team, let's see, that went up 3-2 last night that did it on the road? I don't think any of the road teams wanted to go up 3-2. Calgary won, Florida won. But if they did it, they're like skating around, waving a towel, kind of like dancing. I mean, you know, if Dallas did, you know, but Dallas is not up. None of them are up. 3-2. So wouldn't that be weird? Like, can you imagine what the hockey world, the circles, the fans would, what social media would be like? Wouldn't they be going crazy? Or if it was Brad Marchand, or I'm trying to think, I don't know if he's the right guy. Who's the equivalent in hockey? I don't know if there is one.
To Draymond?
Like the Draymond. I'm not sure I could. Maybe Sean Avery back in the day, Willie, was.
Oh, man. I don't know if he's that bad. Avery's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know what the equivalent is, but don't you think people will go nuts if that happened?
Oh, in hockey, yeah. It's a different This is just a different
level
breed.
Of acceptance.
Yeah, and it's a different hockey and basketball, just like basketball and football. It's just a different fan base. Yeah. Some fan bases are more acceptable, and some fan bases are not. And then some sports are more acceptable.
Yeah.
And some sports not. Just like baseball. They don't like you sure. flipping the bat.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
in basketball, you can do all this. In football, you can do it too. People yeah. don't look at it. They look at it totally different. So,
and some would argue that, you know, each of these sports could use a little bit of the other.
Exactly.
You know, it's sometimes, you know.
Thomas in Nashville's got a pretty good suggestion on our text line driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com said, you know, you guys should make it a contest and see how many listeners it takes to change Billy's tire. Thanks, guys. I enjoy the show. That's not a bad idea. How many listeners does it take to change Billy's crossover?
crossover
tire.
Crossover, not mid-size crossover. Mid-size car. It was first named the crossover.
Tim Hardaway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vincent EPMD Dixon too. Has suggested that he would come by with a compressor and air it up for a ticket. I don't think that's what you're looking for. Like, you need a full change, right? Like,
because if it's airs flat,
up,
yeah.
it's gonna be, you know, that's not
by the time
work.
You get back home, it's gonna be low again.
Yeah, I don't think that's. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna work.
Yeah. Willie, I just suggest you go if you're not gonna change it, if you don't have an extra tire, go get some fixer flat. And just
yeah, but he's got to get though. Go get the like yeah, you can you're right. because you're gonna need a ride.
We can get Uber
because there's a place. There's places auto parts places right by the station.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a fix a flat, get suit to drive you up there real exactly. quick and fix a flat, man.
Yeah,
and then you, that'll all get right. you. That'll get you to your destination to get it fixed.
Exactly.
Okay, we're gonna evaluate as the show goes along. Uh-huh. We're gonna weigh the options. And we're going to see what the best plan of attack is. The but first you, things first. We
but you
say,
know, Darren,
do we
he's
have
thinking
a,
about
do
it.
Do we have a spare tire uh-huh. in the back of the car? And the jack. I did, one time I was driving from St. Louis back to Nashville during summer school at Vanderbilt. Blew out a tire. Just had the car for about a year. Old Honda. Mm-hmm. My first car. Mm-hmm. Sold some of my best baseball cards to get it. Not a high dollar car. My friends called it the go-kart. Because that's kind of what it looked like.
But I know Honda Accord is laughing. Like only
blew out
would
the
say
tire.
I sold baseball
exactly.
cards to pay for something.
Absolutely.
Blew out the tire 10 minutes from where my roommate, Dan
guys,
Hall,
this is
lived.
Don Mattingly rookie card. What you got to give me more, man. This is a Don Mattingly rookie.
Look, I did what I had to do, man.
I was
tired of the two-wheeling feeling, man. Right. I biked around.
All right, I'll throw in Ricky Henderson, okay? I'm going to throw in Ricky Henderson. You just consider this a favor?
Oh, my goodness. No, Darren, you didn't hear what he said.
Oh, I didn't hear what he said.
He said he was tired of the two-wheeling feeling.
Yeah, man. There's only so long you could bike around the neighborhood without wheels, man. It's like Ferris Bueller. You had to bump
oh,
rides off.
Oh, man, that's
everywhere.
The first time I've heard that, man. Oh, I'm going to use that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. But I blew out a tire there, and I figured
out.
DJ,
what's a car? How about that two-wheeler exactly. feeling, DJ? Son, have you tried that? In Boston? How about that?
Yep.
Dad, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay, I'll show you when I get up there and visit.
Oh, man.
That two-wheeling feeling.
But to finish the story, I blew out the tire between St. Louis and Nashville in a very small rural area of Kentucky and had no jack. I figured out I looked around. I was like, I don't have a jack back here. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was not far from my college roommate. Very happenstance. Dan Hall from Benton, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Called him. He and his dad, Jerry, came over and got me, which saved me because it was the middle of the night.
Ooh.
I mean, it was bad. It was bad. So you got to have the goods. So you got to evaluate what's in the back of that car. That's step one.
Middle of nowhere in Kentucky. I don't. You sure? Mm-hmm. You can find those places?
Mm.
Yeah. But you did. We have another good suggestion. Chad from Chattanooga on our text line says, call Jared. We know he at least has a ladder he could help. I don't know what a ladder's going to do, but don't think that's going to help. Remember, he had to help somebody change batteries, so I don't think that's your answer.
I don't think a ladder is a suitable jack replacement.
He'll be on the roof of Willie's crossover. All right, we'll come back. Nate wants to weigh in on his experience last night. So we will let him do that on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sounds baseball today, 6:05, first pitch, ESPN 94.9. Sounds take on Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. That's presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. You're going to need that AC working during these temperatures. It's hot outside. It's very, very hot. I've got people tweeting at me, T-Mac, it's a crossover. I get it. It's a crossover or a midsize car. I mean, either way, it's cool. Kelton's on our text line says, don't use Fix-A-Flat. Why? I don't know why. That's
yeah, a lot of people are down, don't think that's the way to go. I don't know the reasons. I've never
tried
it one way or the other.
Well, the stuff, it gets, if you put too much of it in there and then you go change your tire, it does kind of, you know, that cook or whatever gets all caked up in the tire. Because I remember doing that one day and it fixed the flat, but then, you know, I was out again, and I just forgot about it. Ended up going low again, so I ended up putting more Fix-A-Flat in it. And after a while, it just kind of, when I finally went to go change the tire, the guy was like, man, there's so much stuff in there. So they had to do some extra stuff to kind of get everything out. But I ended up
Well, I don't think you're supposed to use it every week, yeah.
Yeah, I was using a little bit too much.
I'd say once, you know, one time, one shot deal. I don't think it's an issue.
No, if you're just getting you from one place to another, and you're going to get it fixed that day, then it shouldn't be. It should be fine.
Josh from White House on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, do not call Stillman. He will just yell at you, Willie, and tell you how your tire sucks and how you should have a better one. And he'll do that for 4 hours. So, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. So there you go. Good tip from Josh. Let's go to Nate on our phone line, who wants to weigh in on last night's experience.
Well, at the risk of getting hung up on, I feel like with all these suggestions Billy is receiving, he's going to invite people out to the Memorial Gym and cross them over.
It was very close, Nate, very close, but we're going to hang with you. You were patient.
Thank you. So last night was a great experience. Unfortunately, the crowd wasn't as full as it has been the past two games. I don't know if y'all know this, but
Was anybody in the upper deck at all?
No, they closed the upper deck because there were only like 10,000 people. So I don't know if y'all know this, but they play tournaments during the regular season. So last night was part of the U.S. Open tournament, a single elimination.
U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, sorry, U.S. Open Cup, yeah. I didn't know that MLS did that. So, yeah, I mean, even though there were only 10,000 people, still pretty loud. I compare the stadium to – I've never been, but I would compare it to the Seahawks stadium where the awning supports the fans' noise where, you know, you're yelling, sound goes up, comes back down to the field. I could be completely off on that, but that's how I felt. Yeah, crowd. I mean, even, like I said, even though there are only 10,000 people, crowd was great. Didn't play well in the first half. Scored a goal in stoppage time and at the end of the game to tie it up. Scored with like 3 minutes in to, overtime and just basically buckled down from there. It was a great experience. By the way, before I go, this is for you, Billy. What are the Predators' plans?
So what's the plan, Willie?
I'm not clear on the plan.
Oh, man, that was a good one.
There were so many texts and tweets and stuff. Uh-huh. Robbie calls me to be on the show this morning, which I was. It was a great conversation we had. And he goes, you know I'm joking, right, with that tweet that I said, what's the plan? I'm not clear on it. Because he had the sarcastic one, too. I was like, yes, I get it.
Well, Ian, we had Ian on last weekend. He said that it, you know, he didn't expect it to be a full house.
Because you asked the
For the U.S. Open.
Yeah, for the U.S. Open. He said he expected the crowds to be down, which, you know, probably more than likely helped with traffic and with parking. So, because I don't think they were doing any shuttling from Nissan yesterday. So,
well, that's a third of, you know, third of capacity, so yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but I think they were anticipating not having a big crowd. So
I got home and watched final 20 minutes or so, and they were down, and they came back. It was a nice win because there's no draw. So in the U.S. Open Cup, I think it's my understanding, like last night, that's what they cannot draw. They can't, so they have to play to a winner. Is that right? Because I was wondering, like, why do they have so much extra time? And I think it's because this is obviously a tournament, so somebody's got to actually win to advance. So nice win over Atlanta. Atlanta, what, they're the defending champs, right? So it was a good win. Mukhtar's really good. This just in.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really good. He's fun to watch.
A star.
Yeah, he really is. He's really, really fun. Well, I think I'm going to make my first appearance next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I think, Saturday night. I think that's right.
Better get there early.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, we got to obviously hatch a plan. I mean, mm-hmm. So haven't got there yet, but we'll figure it out. We'll make it work, and then we'll report back on that Monday.
Tell us how it was.
Mm-hmm. So we did have a lot of fun with that yesterday. And obviously this is a hot topic, rightfully so, because it's very clear. We always talk on the show about, you know, gauging the interest of the fan base. And I understand sometimes people who are loud doesn't mean they're their majority.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the group that's loud is the majority. I don't know. I think we've had a nice balance. We've taken a lot of calls, and quite honestly, the last couple of days, I mean, I haven't even come close to reading all the time. I mean, there's just so many texts, we can't even keep up with it during the course of our 4 hours. So I will say I feel like ours has been a little bit more balanced. I mean, I've been surprised that, you know, people have called in and said, you know, hey, because this is the thing you have to ask, and we can continue this on the other side. I haven't said one way or the other what is the right plan. And I think that's where a lot of people now are now switching their – okay, because Willie set everybody straight. You set Adam Vingan straight on Monday's show with that. Well, what do you mean you don't know what the plan is? This is the plan. I think now people are saying, okay, fine, if that's the plan, I disagree with the plan.
And I have no problem with that. I think if you want to question the plan in hindsight, or even, hey, how challenging is this going to be going forward? To me, those are very legitimate questions at all. The only thing I got upset about is if you weren't clear on the plan. They made the plan very, very clear. So what really were your expectations? I can't tell if people were really upset that they weren't good enough to beat Colorado, or you want them to completely break everything up and, you know, reset everything and go down for a full rebuild or a tank, whatever you want to define that on.
Yeah, and that's where I get back to what I've said all week, and that's something we can discuss on the other side, and we'll continue to get your calls and your texts to weigh in on it. Okay, if that's your idea, for the people who want it torn down,
mm-hmm.
let Forsberg go, tear it down, and basically start over and try to get those high draft picks to get those elite, elite players that we've talked about this week, and the only way you can get them is at the top of the draft. Okay, you have to have – they only had one time – let's see, what, they had the second pick one time, right? And that was the first year in existence. That's as high as they've ever been, correct?
Yep. Yes, and, they had and the Seth third Jones pick, was the was fourth pick.
Fourth pick. Fourth pick was Seth Jones. Other than that, you know, they're basically most times outside the top 10 because of, you know, a lot of years of getting into the playoffs. So the question is, are you still willing to support? Because here's the deal. The franchise also has the right to say, well, that's great that you want – okay, we'll get in a room and we'll talk about everything. But if all the people that are saying that is, yeah, and then we'll check back in whenever you get good again, that's not a business plan they're interested in.
Mm-mm.
Like, they have no interest in it, zero. So if that's your answer to that question, yeah, tear it down. What, are you going to keep supporting? No. Then they're going to be like, okay, next. They have no interest in talking to you. because that's not a business plan. Because they have no interest in a fan base. A certain portion of a fan base would be like, yeah, I'll come back. I'll check back in when you're good again. That just doesn't work. So you have to be – or there could be a compromise too. So we can get into all that on the other side. Like I said, continue to – if you want to text us or call in, it's wide open. 615-737-1025. Your reaction next. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Evan in Hermitage is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, am I on, sorry?
You're yeah, on. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, sorry, cut out for a bit. Yeah, I'm wary about going the path of full rebuild, just because if you look throughout the history of the Predators franchise, the one consistent thing as far as player development is they've not been able to draft and develop a star forward player. You look at this year, in a historic year of scoring across the entire league, you know, Philip Forsberg finally cracked 40 goals. We only did it with Duchesne playing on the team as well, and, like, I don't like the idea of making Forsberg your guy. I think moving forward, Josi you hang on to, Duchesne you hang on to, and I hate to let Philip walk without getting anything back for him, but that's the situation the Preds have put themselves in, and I think that's the way you've got to go, just based on how they've not been able to draft and develop their guy to take that star forward position.
So how do you fill that void? He had 42 goals this season.
I know he had 40. Yeah, I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but this is like, what's the other option? You pay him and you let go of probably more than 40 goals across the team. Like, you're letting go of multiple guys if you're hanging on to Forsberg, and like that, their production that you're letting go probably eclipses what Phil gave you.
I don't think so. I think they got plenty of room. Plenty of room. By the way, he already counts. So let's go with the number of you comfortable with nine. You want to go with nine? Let's go with nine.
Nine sounds good.
I don't say comfortable. I don't think anybody's really comfortable with nine, but let's just say it's nine. He's already counting six, so you're adding $3 more million to the cap, which they've got plenty of cap space. So I don't think that really changes your plans. Now, it doesn't mean they're done. I mean, they're going to have to tweak this lineup. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to have to tweak the roster, but I don't think signing him – it's like, okay, well, crap. Now we're handcuffed and we can't do anything else.
Well, here's one thing to also keep in mind. You sign him, the cupboard is bare in Milwaukee right now. I mean, there were a period of years where they had a bunch of talent coming up. The Stanley Cup run.
Is it bare?
It's not where it was during the Stanley Cup run, and we saw how important that depth was when injuries stacked up and we had to call guys up. I mean, we called double digits guys from Milwaukee during that run. I mean,
but Afanasyev, isn't there hope on him? I think he's got a chance to be pretty darn good.
I don't think it's bare. I do think the question is, do they have a big needle mover? Do they have a game changer there right now? I don't know that they do.
Yeah, I
don't
guess,
think
Evan,
that they do.
The better way is, if you're talking about I guess I don't know what level player you're talking about. If you're talking about elite, like in the pipeline, then okay, yeah, I'm on board with you.
Yeah, I mean, I would really love to say, okay, like, this is a guy that when he, like, takes that next step, and maybe we thought it was going to be Tolvanen, you know, his game hasn't quite translated to the larger rink size of the NHL. He found some success this year. There were signs of good things, but Tolvanen was going to be that guy, and there's just not that guy where you can look, you know, a year, 2 years down the road and say, man, when he gets it, the Preds are really going to take that next step.
Yeah, that's fair.
Concerning.
That's fair. Hey, good call.
Yeah, a lot of good points that he makes, but I do think they have the room to sign Forsberg and then still have cap space to go address. That's part of what they've done with the strategy of letting the young guys play, is it opens up cap space. You know, in hindsight, guys, I think some of the frustration, and I get this, is that when they did have the Ducks in a row, when they had Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm on lower level contracts, Ryan Ellis, you know, and they had everything lined up and they had a loaded team, which is where Colorado is now and a couple other teams, right? They got everything lined up. They've got the young top level talent and they had enough money to go fill in gaps because they had the cap space to do it. There's a lot of pressure to win when you have that. And the Predators and the Jets, remember in 2018, they were arguably the two deepest, most loaded teams. They had to play each other in the second.
They played out in the standings. They were the two best teams in hockey in the regular season.
And they had to play each other in the second round. And the Predators lost in the seventh game. And then the following year, I still think the Predators had enough to make a run, and they won the division, a very, very deep Central Division, which it is every year.
They weren't quite as good. You, though. No, the Dallas series is when I started going,
No, I'm talking about on paper. I'm talking about when you entered the season.
Oh, yeah,
Did you feel like you still had a chance to win it? Yeah, I felt like they had 100% enough to win it.
But
and
Dallas, the series, it was like,
It was
okay,
an eye-opening. That was the eye-opening
series. This is starting to look different. This is not good.
So, again, so after that, Darren, is this fair to say maybe that was the time to look at it and say, okay.
That's when I did.
Maybe you should start retooling then.
Yes.
So maybe they waited one more year. They should have started the process a little bit earlier. All of that is in hindsight, and that is a fair thing. It's a frustrating thing that when you had those good teams, you had one great run to the Stanley Cup final. You had a couple of other really dramatic playoff series. Some they won in seven games, some they lost in seven games. But at the end of the day, you were hoping to have another big run in there, at least one more, and they didn't.
The problem, Willie, is when that's the series where I was like, this doesn't look the same anymore. Like Dallas, if you really get down to it and you watch that series, they got worked. I mean, they got pushed around, and they just were not the better team in that series. The problem is, if you know that, at that point, I think they were in that handcuff situation. They were handcuffed, and that's their own. I mean, look, if you got bad contracts, you got bad contracts. That's your bed, right? That's the bed.
And they went for it. They were going for it because they felt like they were in a window.
At that
they
point, though, once you realized it, yes, you've got contracts and players. It's like, we can't do anything with this right now. Like this is bad. We know we have to switch certain things up and. Nobody's going to take this off our hands, or nobody's going to give us anything. We're basically either going to take it like they did with Turris, or they're going to have to basically give somebody away because they're not going to get anything in return. And that's a bad place to be in. And I understand that's another, like for example, here's a text line or a text on our text line. I believe the plan of a competitive rebuild. It's not the plan that has me and other Predators fans upset. But it's that we do not believe David Poile can execute that plan successfully. He is stuck in his ways. He's not going to change how he constructs the team. And I think that's maybe what Evan was getting at with the phone call. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that. Like, the game has changed. I mean, we've talked about it all season, right? Like, scoring is absurd in the NHL right now. I've never seen – now that it's okay and it's not taboo to talk about gambling, we can actually talk about it. I've never seen lines like they've been this year. I've never seen over-under lines in hockey like they've been this year. It was absurd. Like, over-under in hockey, like a high one was 5.5. If you ever saw 6, it was like, whoa. I mean, you literally was like, you took a step back. Now, 6 is like a joke, right, for over-unders in hockey. So the game has changed. Scoring is way up, as we know. How many 40 or more goal scorers were there this year? It was double digits,
17.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So
I think that's
that
right.
Part I do understand. Have they been fantastic in drafting things on the back end? 100%. I mean, they're kind of known as, defenseman U, right? And goalies. But to the point of a lot of listeners and fans, the game has changed. And now you realize you do need those guys that can put the puck in the back of the net, because if you don't, it's going to be really hard to keep up with today's game.
Well, it's sort of like football in a sense. When they started making this transition from, this defense, run the football type of league, some coaches – couldn't change, or some GMs couldn't change, or they were so stuck in their ways, they felt, hey, listen, we won like this in the past, and we're going to win like this continually. And sometimes only a few organizations can do that. But in doing that, they also transitioned somewhat to what the new NFL is like. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Titans. Well, not necessarily the Titans because they still are a run-based team. But Pittsburgh, Baltimore, teams like that that were so run and defense-heavy that eventually they had to start mixing some of that in. Like, listen, the league has changed. Rules have changed. We got to start scoring.
We have to evolve.
Exactly. We got to evolve if we're going to stay up with everyone else. And the fan base here, I believe they don't think that David – is willing to evolve quick enough.
But I would push back on that a little bit. Now,
do it on the other side.
Okay,
do it on the
other
side. All right, we got more textery. We can take more phone calls, 615-737-1025. We'll have Robbie Stanley from Robbie and Rexo to join us to begin the second hour. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Everybody may go through this at one time or another. If not, you're pretty fortunate, and congratulations. But, hey, if you've got some sort of bills out there, whether it be credit cards, high interest loans, student loans, any kind of thing that has been a burden on you these last few years, here's an option that Loan Pronto wants to throw at you, because if you're a homeowner, you might have something you haven't considered before. Imagine your monthly cash flow without those big payments. Well, Loan Pronto offers the debt consolidation refi. Loan Pronto can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage. It's a smart financial move. Your home's value is way up. Inflation's been great for your home value, so you can refinance your mortgage now, take money out to pay off the credit card debt, eliminate PMI charges or personal loans or other high-interest debt that you might have. And there's a lot of great examples of what homeowners are doing. One couple had $50,000 in credit cards and personal loans, so what Loan Pronto did is their debt consolidation refi. And even though their mortgage rate went up a tad, they cut their monthly payments by $900 a month. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? So call Loan Pronto and talk about this strategy. It might be for you. It's fast and it's easy. And if you do it now, you can even skip your next house payment. So call Loan Pronto at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Wow, Elijah, digging deep into the old Van Halen. 615-737-1025. Back here on the DDC. So, Willie, I'll let you finish your thought. I'm going to read a text as well.
Okay.
After that.
Well, in perspective, remember the Predators came within what, Darren? We had the trivia question about it. They came within what, 3 or 4 goals of having their highest goal output of all time, right? Yep. In franchise history? Not that they've, for the most part, been an electrifying offensive team year in and year out, but, I mean, they did score a lot of goals, and, by the way, they did it without really much production from the second line, right? It was pretty unique how they did it. And I think, you know, Derek's point about the evolution, I think for David Poile, you do have to say, to last this long in the league, however many years it's been, going back to the early days of the Washington Capitals, I mean, we're talking about generations, certainly you got to be able to evolve just to survive. And he's got his faults, right? The thing that everybody is harping on now is he's never won it. That's a fair criticism, but he is the all-time winningest general manager. He's done a lot right. He's had consistent winning teams for a reason. And I do think he recognized, although as we were talking about in the last segment, maybe it was a year too late in fairness of the ones that are criticizing. Maybe they should have sort of started the roster overhaul earlier, but they didn't. But he did recognize that they had to change the way they played. And that's where the competitive transition started. After they lost in the bubble to Arizona. That was one that, you know, that was a crossroads for the team. They had to get bigger. They had to get younger. And that is what they have done. So I do think they have executed the plan very well since then. But the hard part now is going forward, right, is how do you go from, as to use the Mike Vrabel line, the good to great? How do you get back to being a team that can stack up? That's not easy, right? And the answers aren't 100% clear. They've got a tough road ahead. You got to start with Forsberg, but then how do you get back up there? Because in the farm system, there aren't these guys coming up where you're like, okay, these guys are about to explode. You do have a very steady group of young players that have, I think, done a tremendous job of keeping them at a playoff level. There's no doubt. But what's the next step? That's the biggest question.
Yeah, if you think about it, and I get it. We're talking about the Predators, and a lot of times you hear me say, I don't care what everybody else is doing, and that's fine. And that's why I'm pointing this out just to say, just to show you how incredibly difficult it is. Think about this. Minnesota, look at the – they had 130. They were the second best team in the Western Conference. They would have won the Pacific, and they're about to be eliminated. I mean, they can still win two more games and win it, but they're down 3-2.
Well, either they or St. Louis is going out.
Yeah, but I mean, Minnesota both finished with the, four more points than St. Louis. Yeah. I mean, Minnesota was the second best team. St. Louis
is a loaded team. That's a great team, too.
But they're dealing with injuries, and they're still finding a way. And my point is, I understand it's hard. It is hard. But I know people don't want to hear, and I get it. I'm just simply pointing out, Minnesota had 113 points. They were the second-best team in the Western Conference, and they're one game away from going home and exiting the playoffs the same time frame as in round one as the Predators. And I know it looks different and all that, so I understand, because I'm not going to sit here and be a phony, because there's times when I'm like, I don't give a damn about other markets. We're talking about this market. I'm just pointing that out. Matt from Camden on our text line, I understand that you don't want to lose support if you do a rebuild. But isn't it your job as a franchise to win a cup? Answer is yes. If you're just worried about being good enough to make the playoffs, people are going to stop showing up. The fans are tired of just making the playoffs. They want to win. Being mediocre is not okay anymore, and something drastic is going to have to be done, or they're going to lose support either way. Fans don't want to support a franchise that is okay with just making the playoffs. This franchise is past that, and so are the fans. I will say this. There's a lot of truth in that. I mean, this is kind of the Predators' own doing, right? And you're saying, what do you mean? Well, they've actually had a lot of success, for as much as you glorify, and they want everybody to know, and they should. It is an accomplishment. There's only three teams that have done it in the league. Hey, been to the playoffs 8 years in a row. Of course, the last four have been first-round exits. It is their own body of work, right? I've said this about the Titans and Mike Vrabel. Like, be careful. You're getting into that territory, I believe, and this is where I will agree with a lot of the fans that feel this way. This is the bet you've created, and that's a good thing. You've been successful. Now fans are saying, okay, now the bar has been moved up. Now we expect more. It's not just going to be okay. The Titans are getting there too, because they keep going to the playoffs. Mike Vrabel keeps winning double-digit games, and they're right on the brink of, hey, first-round exits in the playoffs are no longer going to be acceptable. Like, they're right there too. They're on the doorstep, and it's a credit on one hand, right? It's a credit to both of them. Like, hey, you've been doing good things. It's also a detriment that now the fan base expects more and more. And they're not just okay getting there. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. No question. I do, the only problem I have is when people say mediocre. I mean, it's semantics. To me, mediocre means you make it sometimes, you don't make it sometimes, and, you know, you kind of hit or miss as to whether you make the playoffs. To me, in this league, it's a competitive league. It's a salary cap league. Everybody has the same resources now. And I'm talking about since the salary cap came in 2005. And David Poyle would tell you there, the first several years of that salary cap, he did not have the resources to spend to the cap. They were on the low end. But they've made it all but three seasons to the postseason. To me, that's not mediocre. That's good. Like, if you want to say that's not elite, I'm with you on that. It's not elite. They haven't won it. That's the goal. And I look at it, they have had a couple of cycles in my mind where they've had a team that was capable of making a deep run. And that might be a little bit on the low end to some people's liking, but I wouldn't call it mediocre. I don't think that's fair. I think it's been good, solid. But it's short of the goal that you set out to do. But there's no question that you want to win it. And all I've tried to point out this last couple weeks is the expectations of this team were not to win the Stanley Cup this year. They They were trying to remain competitive while they transition the roster. They made that clear. So I'm just trying to say, be fair to what you thought the expectations were this year. The outrage, to me, this year is higher than it's been in a while, and I'm a little surprised at that. Like, I can understand the real frustration and disappointment at the end of that Dallas series loss. That's when, to me, you kind of looked and said, oh, they've kind of – maybe they missed the window.
But I think it's – and you're right, Willie, but I think what the fans is – it's, and I said this yesterday, it's almost how it ended.
Oh, yeah.
It's what they're so upset
about.
It's
influenced a lot by that.
It's, we have, and we are, we're sort of helping their argument, because we're saying they had 240 goal scores. They had Roman Josi, who's going to win an award or should win. You have a goalie that's up for the Vezina, but he wasn't playing. I get that part. But we're talking about all this good stuff, but then they get ousted in the playoffs in four games, and it wasn't even truly competitive until the last game.
Yeah,
I think why fans are like, angry now.
That influences
sputtering down the stretch is – Derek, that's well said. I think sputtering down the stretch of the regular season and getting blasted in the playoffs is going to have people mad. That's the lasting impression. That's the last thing they remember. So
it really
that's,
stings.
That's why you get that reaction.
It stings that
from a lot of people.
I really would have liked to have seen, if UC Soros hadn't gotten hurt, they would have been playing in Calgary last night. I watched that game last night.
I did too.
Dallas in a grind. It's been the exact grinding series that we thought it would be. Dallas, to me, is a very similar team as Nashville. I think Calgary is a bit of an overachieving one seed. The matchup would have been so much better. And we'll never know what the answer is. But I do think it would have changed how people feel if Nashville were playing in Calgary with their Vezina candidate goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe the trend that people were worried about, some guys hitting the wall, some guys, not enough gas in the tank, not peaking at the right time. Maybe that would have played out, and it would not have been a great series. We'll never know, but I think it would have been different.
We'll come back, Robbie Stanley, to begin the second hour next.